The information discussed on this show is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. All content is for general informational purposes only.
It's Guy's Guy Radio. Here's your host, Robert Manny.
Welcome to Guy's Guy Radio. This is your host, Robert Manny, welcoming you to the show where men and women can be at their best and everyone wins, Guys Guys Radio. We're here to inform you, inspire you, empower you, and get you to think, feel, and who knows, maybe even act by virtue of the journeys, stories, experiences, and insights of the guests I bring you each and every week to the show. And this week is once again no exception. Today, we're going to talk about some of the pitfalls of scrolling and staring down at your phone, particularly staring down at it, with our special guest, return guest, the creator of Cogno Movement, Bill McKenna. Hey guys, this is Guys Guys Radio, where we decode the chaos of modern life and help you live smarter, stronger, and more consciously. But here's a question for you. How many times a day do you check your phone? And more importantly, how do you feel afterwards? Most people blame their phones for stress, anxiety, even depression. But what if that's only part of the story? What if your phone isn't the problem, but actually exposing something deeper going on inside of you? My pal, Bill McKenna, our special guest and creator of Cogno Movement, which is a powerful method designed to help people process emotional blocks in real time, is going to discuss it today. Today, we're going to connect the dots between your phone, your nervous system, and why so many people feel overwhelmed and about what to do about it when they're scrolling on their phone. So it's like it's one of these problems that everybody experiences. We deal with it each and every day. We know the phone makes us anxious, but maybe it's actually something deeper. And, you know, the phone's not dopamine, but sometimes it feels like that. There's a lot of hidden triggers behind using our phone all the time and staring at it. And maybe there's some new ways to break the cycle. So we're going to get into that and a lot more with my pal, Bill McKenna, the creator of Cogno Movement. And who hasn't found themselves sitting up in bed or lying down in bed, holding your phone, scrolling, staring endlessly beyond your emails, beyond your texts, beyond your messages through Instagram and TikTok and whatever else you follow. But there's a lot of time spent on the phone and a lot of time staring down actually at the phone. We're going to get into both of those issues with Bill McKenna right here on Guys Guys Radio.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle Magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle Magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, Guys Guys Radio, it is the interview portion of our show, and I'm delighted to welcome back my friend and teacher, the wonderful Bill McKenna, creator of the Cogno Movement practice. Today, we're going to talk about the connection between your phone and depression, feeling overwhelmed and feel full with anxiety. And you know what? It's not what you think. We're also going to talk about your eyes being the joystick of your brain. And we're also going to talk about how you can feel better, feel love, feel joy, feel bliss by looking, using your eyes and looking in certain directions. So three cool topics that'll help you right here on Guys Guys Radio. So you know what, Bill, it's so great to have you back again. You created Cogno Movement. You've got some fascinating and provocative ideas always when you come on the show. Let's set the stage, though. Give us a quick primer once again about Cogno Movement for the folks who are not aware of it and not aware of you and the wonderful work your partner and you, partner Liz Larson, and you do. What problems are you really solving with Cogno Movement?
So, Liz Larson and myself created something we call Cogno Movement. And basically, what it is we use your nervous system and your brain to help to basically change your life in as far as your emotions, your athletic performance, your mental acuity. We have become known as the people that can solve really hard to solve problems. We utilize the entire body and different methods, even the eyeballs, the tongue, the ears, you name it, to help the brain to make new connections or to disconnect unresourceful connections. Liz Larson and myself came together. We came at this problem from different angles. And the kind of interesting thing about it is because of that, we're able to solve problems that really had no solution before.
Fantastic. And kind of you've been doing this for about, 5, 10 years now. How long?
It's about a decade
Yeah.
now.
Okay.
That we've been at this.
So where has it gone from when you started to now in terms of all the things that you've been able to layer on in terms of problems you can solve? And how does that all kind of tether back to the core of what the Cogno Movement practice is?
Well, where it started was with just simple emotional problems. And we were doing some basic physical exercises that we would have a person concentrate on their emotional issue. And we would throw a ball to the left and right sides at different points. And the person would experience this problem basically going away. For example, they may have felt that financially that they were doomed and that they would be spending the rest of their life in poverty. A lot of fear around that. Or other people, they had cravings for, let's say Coca-Cola or ice cream or marijuana or something else. And those cravings just literally went away by exercising the brain and finding that unresourceful area of the brain and then having it rewired, if you will.
Let me throw a, before we move on to today's topics, let me throw a curveball at you with that. How would you approach eliminating, let's say somebody is highly sexual and they crave sex all the time, and you want to eliminate the fact that it becomes front and center for them all the time. A lot of men are still that way. And how do you eliminate the overcraving where it's an issue, but keeping them sexually functional and active?
Right. So there's healthy and then there's unhealthy or resourceful and unresourceful. There's the situations which it can cause some serious issues for men as they do things that they certainly shouldn't be doing, maybe illegal things, things that will hamper their life. And this kind of it's a spectrum, right? It goes in degrees. But it is much the same. This is going to sound weird, but it's going to sound much the same as a craving for pizza or ice cream. It's much, much more intense, but it's the same principle. And what it is I have this physical sensation, and then I have an emotion that goes along with it. So when these two get joined, what happens is that we keep going after it, whatever that is, whether it's Coca-Cola, ice cream, sex, alcohol, we keep going after that thing to make us feel better. I want to feel different. So I'll reach for that alcohol or I'll reach for whatever. I basically want to feel better. And then it becomes kind of compulsive. And what we do is we can find the part of the brain that has this kind of compulsiveness in it. And how do we do that? Well, we do it primarily through your eyeballs. And the way that we do it through your eyeballs is we watch your eyeballs very carefully as we begin to get your eyeballs to move, because your eyeballs are one with the brain.
Okay. Let's move then to our number one topic that we're going to talk about today, beyond, what cognitive movement is and some of the applications of it. But we talked about the phone. Now, you say that the connection between our phones and anxiety isn't what people think. So what's the deeper mechanism at play there? Everybody's scrolling all the time. Talk to us about some of the pitfalls that we might not be aware of that have to do with the phone. And one of them was kind of looking down, right?
Well, yeah, exactly. So we mentioned just a minute ago that your eyes are one with the brain. Literally, neurologically, the Stanford at Stanford Andrew Huberman, who's very popular, a lot of people know, he says your eyeballs, your brain, and your spinal cord are one neurological system. So everywhere we look is activating a different part of the brain. How do we know this? Well, if you or anybody, even a child, sees somebody looking down, they see somebody looking down, what instantly, what do you think? That the person is looking downward is sad or introspective or disconnected. Well, it is an amazing thing that if you look down, you'll stimulate the parts of the brain that are associated with being disconnected and also different feelings of that are negative. We know this. We know this being humans. Back in the day, people would say, "Hey, look up. Things are going to be better. Look up. Don't look so down. Don't look down." That type of thing. Well, as it turns out, there's scientific evidence for this at the National Institutes of Health. I started years ago. There was a great teacher that I had that was talking about looking downward and how that is going to stimulate your brain, the sadness. And when I heard this years ago, this was 2009, I thought to myself, "Oh my God, there's going to be an epidemic of people that are depressed and maybe end things for themselves."
Yikes.
And so anyway, this was 2009. The data proved it out. It's true. It ended up becoming reality. And the reason I knew this is because I saw people with these phones, and I saw everybody starting to look down. When you hold your phone, everybody, where do you look? You look downward. So I knew that this was taking place. I knew that there was a massive problem with depression, anxiety, but it wasn't until AI and the AI that you can pay for, I got access to the Center for Disease Control and the World Health Organization, their databases. And I utilized those databases and I said, "Okay, I want you to chart the the diagnoses from 2007 to 2025 of the people that have been diagnosed with depression. And the diagnosis of depression went like this, perfectly. And the anxiety exactly like that too. It was just this perfect slope. You know, like if you took a line and just draw from the lower left corner to the upper right corner, just boop. Well, then I accessed the information from the cell phone industry. So there's industry where they say, how many hours per day per person are we spending on our cell phones? You know, and it's the true adoption. Right? If you only got 10 people on cell phones, you know, you don't have a quorum of data, and you don't really have enough to tell. So what happened is we ran the report. It exactly mirrors the increase in depression and the increase in anxiety. So the reason why everybody's thinking, oh, it's because of social media, it's because of blah, blah. It's because you're looking down. It's physical. I'm not saying, you know, obviously there's things with, you know, all of these different social medias, but literally if you did curls every day, you went to the gym and did curls every day for a year, you'd get pretty big biceps, you know, but people have not associated. This is a neurological pattern. You're literally your nervous system. Everyone's heard the term, what fires together, wires together. Neurologically, this is the case. If you keep repeating a pattern over and over, it wires together. Literally, your nervous system. The nervous system, the technical definition of it, is the carrier of an electrical charge. You keep firing the same circuit over and over, and that's what you got. Now, the great news is that there's a way out. You know, you can start to limit your time, or the other way to do it is to start putting your phone in a different direction. As you look at it level. Don't look at it down, or look at it up. You know, and your computer, don't put your computer down, put your computer on a stand. So it's just a little bit higher, and all you need is just a little bit higher. Now, the reason I say a little bit higher is because you've also heard the term, you know, hey, look up, you know, things are looking up, you know, right? And looking up affects a different part of the brain, mm-hmm. and that different part of the brain is right here.
Okay, my special guest on Guys, Guys Radio, return guest, the amazing Bill McKenna of Cogno Movement. So what's actually happening in the nervous system during the time where, you know, when people start scrolling and looking at their phone, regardless of if it's looking down or looking straight ahead, what's happening in the nervous system that prevents them from stopping?
Oh, okay. Well, there's numerous things that are preventing them from stopping. One of them is that novelty. We love novelty. Novelty's like addictive, you know, chemically. And when you're scrolling, you're constantly on the hunt. You know, something new, something different, something interesting, or something that validates my point of view. Right now in the world, we have great polarity. I'm right. And whatever side you're on, the left, the right, is I am correct. And I want to be the with the latest outrage. Can you believe the ignorance of them? Can you believe the ignorance of them? You know, and it gives us a boost, right? It really is about our identity and boosting us into this and fortifying it.
That's amazing. So, do you think do our phones then amplify unresolved emotional patterns, or do they create, and or do they create new ones?
They amplify and they keep us stuck. The new one that could be created is what I would call running us down a hole, where, for example, YouTube. I made the mistake one day of clicking on a YouTube, and it was, and the mistake that I made was to click on a YouTube where someone had gotten arrested for, something, like bribery, embezzlement, something like that. Right. And it was, clearly, the point of view from one of the parties. And they were like, this particular, and it was a very fine sector of the population, and that they were doing bad things, a particular gender, a particular subset. And all of a sudden, my entire YouTube, it was all over the place in my YouTube, and really wanted to make you clickbait it, because it's, oh my gosh, I found that these people, they really suck, so bad. But that's what that's you pick a it doesn't matter what lane, whichever way, you will find reinforcement within that, which is not really the truth. But it will seem as if it's the truth. So it is a limited perspective. And one of the things that Liz Larson and myself always say in this that we've realized is that it's all just perspective. And we think it's real. We think what we're looking at is 100% real, and you can't talk us out of it. But there's a particular circuit in the brain, and if you don't go beyond, you'll never know, and you'll die that way. But there's an easy way out.
Okay, well, let's get to that. So kind of like, why do people, and then I want to know the answer, the solution, but why do people then feel overwhelmed when they're doing the scrolling, even if the content isn't overly negative? And we talked about when you look down, you're going to kind of get depressed over time. But what if there's an overwhelmed feeling like you may have had when you were following one topic, and then you got more and more content being thrown at you in a similar realm topic-wise? So, and then people, I think, then become overwhelmed by it because they just keep getting the same thing over and over again. It's called micro-targeting from an advertising standpoint, where you say, you're watching a racing show, and then you get all these tire advertisements and car advertisements, things like that. So why are people feel overwhelmed by this? And then what can they do about it? What's the solution?
Well, that's a really interesting question, and it kind of goes right back into the eye position. When your eyes are down, right? I don't want to face something. When you meet people in person, they're looking down in a social setting, that type of thing, they may find the entire thing overwhelmed. It's just that part of the brain that they're accessing. So there's a simple way is to begin to move your eyes around, and it will force you to utilize other parts of your brain. You'll start seeing other perspectives.
So what else can people do to kind of combat the whole phone and scrolling addiction?
So if you notice the phone and the scrolling addiction, there's a feeling that goes along with it. If you go to the airport, a restaurant, anywhere, literally anywhere that people are standing around, most of them have their phone out and they're looking down, they're scrolling and swiping left and swiping right and scrolling and all of these things. There is a feeling that you have in your body before you reach for that phone. If you take a moment and you just don't grab the phone and allow the sensation, if you're very aware from the top of the head to the tips of the toes and just let that feeling be there, you're going to notice. May who knows where it is in your body, but there's a sensation that goes along with I need to. Maybe I'm uncomfortable with the people around me. Maybe who knows what it is that I maybe I'm drawn to. Did people like what I said, or am I being left out? The fear of missing out. I know people that have gotten off of social media because they see what they're missing out on and they're like, it makes them feel bad. So if you let yourself feel that way and then you do these cognitive movement exercises, at the end we have a free link, cognomovement.com/gateway. There's a free class there for you. And you'll start to understand and be able to do exercises where it'll alleviate the driver. The driver is a sensation in your body. We all have this thing about us that none of us, I didn't know this, but there's a sensation or feeling in our body that starts to come. And then what that does is it drives us to drink the Coca-Cola, smoke the cigarette, all of these different things. And the phone is no different.
Let's again, Bill McKenna, the creator of Cogno Movement, our return special guest to Guys Guys Radio. We've been talking about how to kind of wrestle with the phone and the addictive qualities of our phone and scrolling. So I think we've got some good information and ideas to consider, Bill. So thank you for that. You also talked about our next topic is your eyes are the joystick. So let's test that idea. You've said that the eyes are like a joystick to the brain, and that's a bold claim, Bill. What do you mean by that in practical terms?
So it's the amazing thing is that your memories, your positive outlook, your negative outlook, your high performance, your low performance, your repetitive story that you told about yourself or someone else has a very particular eye direction, a point that once you know it, that and you know how to do these exercises, that you start to be able to rewire, or to be even aware that there's my repetitive story. When I have my repetitive story, I look over to the left and down. And that's where when I think of this person in my life, and if I tell the story of what happened, I'll look over here. So, just as much as something like that, there is the positive as well. A simple story to illustrate this is there was a mother that we worked with, and what happened is she had the dinner table, and over on the right side was her daughter, and she was so nice and kind, and there was always easy with her daughter at dinner. But somehow, over on the right side is her son sitting. And for some reason, it's always chaos with her son at dinner. And it's like, he's asking for this or asking for that. And she said, the mother said she felt really bad because her son just irritates the heck out of her at dinner. He's just obnoxious or whatever. Well, we said, we said, where is he? Where is he sitting? Well, he sits over on my right side. And where does your daughter sit? She sits over on your left side. So tell me about this, tell me about your son irritating you. And she would tell the story and look over to her right. Well, this is the area of agitation for her. And on her, when she looks over to her right, and when she looks to her left, she's calm and
Is
comfortable.
that the same for everyone, the right and the
No,
left? So it's
it's
okay.
not.
So is this more experiential, or is there a neuroscience behind the different directions and this the pathway of your eyes?
There's some neuroscience behind it, but it is not perfect. There's neuroscience. We did a bunch of access to the National Institutes of Health, and for example, looking down or looking up or looking left, looking right. If you look over to the left side, you're predominantly, accessing right brain and vice versa, but you're accessing both at the same time. We found certain, over the past decade, we found on our own, anecdotal evidence, there's certain areas that seem to be more predominant. For example, if a person looks down and to the side, either left or right, around the level of the liver area, we found there's oftentimes angry feelings. You stimulates anger. But back to this particular lady, the interesting thing was we're saying, okay, you're going to switch. Your kids are now going to sit on, one side of the table on the exact same left side, but you're just going to put them together right there. All the problems went away. She just no longer felt the anger because she was no longer looking over to the right, for her.
And again, that's just for her. Her right side was anger based.
Yeah,
Or
that was her.
is there a directional trend that way for most people, or it's just each person
No,
is completely individual?
everybody's individual, we found some there, but we can't draw a hard and fast rule around that. But it was so interesting. We have done this so many times, like when people are driving the car, right? The person in the passenger seat, they're looking over at the driver. It, like, oh, let's switch positions. You drive. And all of a sudden there's peace in the Middle East. There's where before there wasn't, for the passenger. So dinner tables, the TV, right? There's the, let's say, dad or grandpa, he got his lazy boy chair and it's in the same position. If we move the chair and get him into a different position, all of a sudden, things are happy and calm. Just
Amazing.
simple things like that.
So is this about interrupting thought patterns, or are you actively rewiring emotional responses?
Oh, you know what? That's a great subtlety that a lot of people don't catch. So something like what we talked about, the woman moving the kids over to the left side, that is basically accessing a different part of the brain. The re real rewiring, that we do with cognitive movement You're actively exercising. You're letting yourself feel the agitation, and you're doing these different exercises with the spine, with the eyes, and you ultimately it rewires where you literally don't feel the agitation anymore. The kid
Okay.
could sit over to the right, he could sit to the left, he can sit across the table, you just don't feel anything anymore. But there is, that whole state change where I've moved them to a different position, like we just talked about. That is something that you can instantaneously do, the
Okay.
state change.
Right. Bill, can you, for the benefit of our audience, can you walk us through a simple kind of real-time exercise that listeners can try safely on their own? Obviously, don't do this while you're driving and working with heavy equipment and all that stuff. If you're home, in a safe environment, something that they can do.
Yeah, so if you're at home in a safe environment, there's something really fun that you can do. So for you, Robert, if you would you like to be the person that we show on this?
Sure.
Okay. So what we're going to do here is I want you to think about someone that you really loved in your life, somebody that you really loved, and take yourself to a place in time where you really felt the love for that person.
Okay.
Okay, and let go of looking at me. Just let go of looking at me. Think about that person that you love and the place and time where you could really feel it.
Okay.
And think about switch over to a peak spiritual experience in your life. Like, oh my gosh, that you really had an incredible almost.
With this person
No, with
separate.
any time in your life where you've had what I would call a peak spiritual experience, like the experience of divine love, let's say, for example.
Okay.
Okay. And the most beautiful place that you've ever been on the planet, where you were just shocked by the beauty.
Okay.
Okay, so your position, you have right over to your right side and ever so slightly upwards.
Okay.
It's right there. Yeah, it's right over there. So if you just look up into the right over there,
Okay,
and
okay.
think about that person that you love. And you can use your ceiling to move your eyes like a little micro inch, like a little millimeter, little left, over to the left a little bit. You'll notice if you move just a millimeter, a millimeter, a millimeter over, and you'll find there's a place that this feeling is going to be enhanced.
Okay.
You'll feel that good feeling is feels like even more of a good feeling. Okay? And what well, you can fine tune it. Just fine tune it as you think about this person that you love non-romantically.
Okay.
And if you just keep your eyeballs here, and then just notice there may be a person that's very difficult in your life. Keep your eye right there, don't move it. And notice how you feel about them now.
Less annoyed.
Less annoyed.
Okay.
There you go. There you
Oh,
go.
that's my spot, huh?
There's your, is that, does that feel better up
Oh
there?
yeah, definitely good spot. But I don't know, well, a couple of questions. It's because I'm looking up. Is that part of what we were talking about? Like looking down, you get depressed. Is looking up, does that mean you become more optimistic, or is there a is this was there an effective something happening here, or is it wishful thinking, or placebo, or what is it?
Yeah, it's not wishful thinking. You
Okay.
know, we have thousands and thousands of people that have found, we call it their love direction.
I love
And
it.
love direction. And if you want to feel better, you can basically just look in that exact direction. It happens within a few millimeters. You know, you'll find that if you go too far to the left or go too far to the right, the feeling just goes back to like, oh, you know, it's good, but there's an amplification of it in that exact place. And when that thing is amplified, what it helps to do is many, many things. You'll have new ideas, situations that were difficult all of a sudden. It's like, oh, I could just do it this way. I could just do it that way. Or you know what? It's not that important. You know, that sort of thing. You're accessing the part of your brain that is more open, new ideas, and not stuck. So the position could be anywhere within the your visual spectrum.
So again, Bill, how does some, what are the steps? I feel it, that spot, that's a great spot for me. And thank you. For our audience, what are the steps then for them to do this on their own? Because you were watching me while I was doing this, so you could identify, okay, you're kind of there, and that's your spot. For
Oh,
somebody at home, how can they do this?
okay. So I for somebody at home, the way you do this is very simple. What you do is just relax and think of, let yourself think about a person, a pet that you love non-romantically. Let yourself think of the most beautiful place you've been, maybe a peak spiritual experience, or maybe it was the best time of your life with your friends, that you were the time of your life when you were so happy. There was, you know, we've
Okay.
all had a moment in time, and as you're there, you just let yourself go. You let yourself go to it, and you notice where your eyes drift to. If you
Got
try
it.
to lock down, if you relax, you'll notice, oh, I'm kind of, you know, I'm thinking about them and
Okay.
those great times we had. And you'll kind of see your eyes will start to go somewhere. You know, what you do is just let go, and you'll find the place. And once you find the place, you stay in that best time of, with my
Okay.
friends.
So that can
You
be kind of
find.
your eyes kind of happy place for them. So
Yeah.
whenever you might be sitting at home or whatever alone, say I want to go to that spot, and you just move your eyes in that direction, kind of relaxingly sit there, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. And you can fine-tune this.
All right, fantastic. Bill McKenna, always like an illuminating, insightful, and so helpful discussion on Guys Radio, where we really bring information for people that can help them live their best lives. So, Bill McKenna, my friend and teacher, thank you so much once again for being back on Guys Radio.
Thank you.
The station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job, she was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movements and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, what a fascinating conversation with Bill McKenna, the creator of Cogno Movement. Today we talked about a couple of different areas, including the real phone anxiety connection, which we did a deep dive on, how the eyes can be a joystick, if you will, for the brain, and how to shift emotional states through eye direction. And I think one of the biggest takeaways was when we talked about the phone, studies have shown that repeated downward or averted gazes can contribute to sadness signaling. And if you go through a crowded airport, you'll see everybody staring down at their phones. And wherever you go, you're going to see people staring at their phone, and we all do it. And usually when we're looking at the phone, we're looking down, we're not looking out. And that can create some issues, particularly with sadness, beyond what the phone does, where all of this the rapid fire imaging or TikTok or Instagram or everything that we're looking at for stimulation sometimes can suck us in there, and we devote a lot of time and to it. And you have to ask yourself, after I'm done with that scrolling that I'm so addicted to, how do I feel? Do you feel happy or do you feel sad? Do you feel disconnected? Do you feel out of it? I'm not part of what's going on. Or do you feel more inclusive? I think it's more where it's really alienating sometimes where you're looking at the phone too much. Now, of course, we all want to get our information. We all want to stay up to date, but too much phone can be a bad thing. And looking down at your phone, which was what we got into today, is really an issue, because as Bill got into, a lot of the issue is which way are your eyes gazing, straight ahead or downward. And look, and the value also we got into of looking up. So keep that in mind. If you're somebody who likes to put that phone down on a table and just stare at it and kind of flip through it, that it's probably not doing you all the good that you want it to do. And even though you're getting some information and some entertaining out of it, you'd probably be better off if you set the phone up, if you need to look at it all the time. Hopefully you don't. It's better to live in real life, if you will. But if you do have to look at your phone, or you do want to look at your phone, at least put it at eye level so you're not staring down. I think that's the biggest takeaway. So keep in mind that too much time on the phone is less time doing other things in real life. And we just have to be more and more aware of that, because our world moves so quickly and we spend a lot of time, if not too much time, staring down at our phones. Okay, thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of Guys Guys Radio on UK Health Radio. We're back next week with another great show. And until then, like I always say, guys, finish first.